welcome to the press conference of the film Mano de Obra, Workforce, a title which forms part of the official section of the 67th edition of the San Sebastian International Film Festival. And to talk about the film and to answer your questions, we've got the pleasure of having one of the actors, Hugo Mendoza, the producer, Michel Franco, and the director, David Zonana. And in order to open fire, so to speak, I would like you to explain how the project emerges. Perhaps David, who's the director, it's your first film, is that right? And why start your career in a feature film with this subject matter? Yes, well, we all know that in Mexico and other countries, Latin American countries and the rest of the world, there's a lot of social and economic contrasts. And it is something with which we live and I grew up with in Mexico. So therefore, it's an issue which is difficult, but at the same time, it's quite present. And growing up, witnessing all of that, that's where the idea emerges of making this film. Michel, we were talking before that it's your the fifth time you've come to the film festival, and you're a producer as well as director in your career. You've produced directors like Lorenzo Vicker and Ripstein, but with David, you've got a special, because you've also produced his short films, so you've got a special relationship. So what interests you about David's world, and why did you want to defend his first feature film? Well, initially, as you say, quite well, I'm a director, but around the production company, a friendship has arisen, and it wasn't planned, with Lorenzo Vigas and Gabriel Ripstein. It wasn't planned. We all help each other in our films, and David, I met him after Después de Lucia in Cannes. He was 20 years old or 21 years old, I remember, and he was interested in films. It drew his attention. We started to meet. He started to work in my films slowly but surely. And then he started to make some shorts at his own rhythm. And he surprised me one day that he had a script for a feature film. And he didn't tell me too much about the story. When I read it, I thought it was worthwhile shooting and making the film. And as a producer, I only help the directors to make the best film that they can possibly make. So therefore, the merit is completely in that of David's. And then finally, Hugo, it's your first film, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. And how did you see yourself get involved in this film? For me, it's a very good experience for me. I don't dedicate myself to films. I'm a worker. I do other things, but it was an experience which was a great experience to work with David and the whole crew. It was a very, very good life experience. We've got a question already. Didn't you have a... No, over here. Yes. Hi. Congratulations, especially I like the way you've finished the film. I like the films that are well resolved, so to speak. And I've got a question about the main character. It's not clear whether the main character is a bad guy or not. It depends on a certain time in the film what a bad guy he is, and other times I've got a feeling he's just managing the situation depending upon the situation. How did you see it? I don't like to classify people as good or bad. I don't think good or evil. I think there's anyone in the world that's completely good or too but completely evil, and in this case, the circumstances, and he starts in one way, and the situation, and he empowers him, and it brings out another part of him in his character. I'm not too sure, David. Sorry. Well, Michel wanted to say, yes, I agree with David. The films are interesting just when the characters have got that complexity and psychological dimension in them. Just like in life, we're all able to do things that are horrible. And there's got to be that dimension also in film. I like the film. A pity Luis Alberti couldn't come along with us. Hugo has come along, who's a great potential, because Luis Alberti He's a professional actor. He's the only one in the cast. Luis is the only actor in the film. The rest are people with experience in construction, Hugo, and also the group of workers with him, and that's what they've done. So therefore, that's one of the important issues that David and I talked about when I read the script, whether they should be professional actors or not, whether they should be two or three or only one. And David made all the decisions, but we discussed it step by step. And Erendira and Dario Jasberg, who are also producers of the film. Dario is the protagonist of my first film, and here he's the producer. So therefore, he's part of this group that talks about this issue. There's another question in the front row. Yes, please. Hi, Adela Maxwellin from Mexico. I would like to ask you whether your role as a director has marked everything, but what Luis Alberti, what way, I've seen him in three films and he always surprises me as the only professional actor in the cast with another team of workers, construction workers. Luis is an actor with an enormous amount of talent. And in this case, he contributed a lot to the film just because of that, because he was surrounded by people that didn't have any experience portraying a role. And so therefore, he was a great, significant support and help when we were shooting the scenes. So he's got enough experience and a certain rhythm, which is different, and he helps a lot. He helped me a lot in the scenes and make them feel comfortable as well. And the truth is, the mixture was very good. On the one hand, he contributing all his experience, and they making it very natural to create this world of construction builders, construction workers. And I thought it worked quite well. I want to talk about the inspiration of the story, behind the story, and I would like to know whether there's a phenomenon here, which is the phenomenon of squatters. I don't know whether in Mexico, how is that seen or how is that contemplated in Mexico? Yes, that's what you asked. But to go further in depth, the film starts from the social contrast that exists in Mexico, but it's also a study on humans, a human study. What one can do with a certain amount of power can come to do, and the transition between the difficulties that one can encounter in one's life and having a few more resources of power, we end up being corrupt. Corruption is part of our society, and it's sad. And the idea emerges from seeing that is, observing people, politicians, entrepreneurs. It's a difficult world, and there are also regular people, not only the most important people, but the common population, shall we say, has corruption, and sometimes we don't notice it, but it emerges from adding those two elements. Sorry, we can't hear the question. She's not asking us. She's asking a question without the microphone. I would like to know, I don't know to what extent it's normal that people occupy houses as squatters. They're called parachuters when they occupy a land or a house. We call them parachutists. But it's quite common in front of my house, there's a house of squatters. I say because of the character of the lawyer that seems to, whether it's legal or not. No, there are facilitators, there are associations and organizations, popular organizations and associations, and that exist in Mexico. I'm not too sure that exactly, I don't know the situation in Spain, but in Mexico, between all the corruption and other money factors, for example, this happens quite a lot, and people keep the properties, but they do exist, these facilitators. Yes, they do exist in Mexico. Yes, there's another question back there. The original message of the film, we can say that it says that the house for the person who works for it. But at the end of the film, it seems what prevails is other types of individualistic values. Is that what you wanted to reflect? Yes, of course. Just going back to the issue of corruption, idealistic values with which a revolution starts, well, in this case, for example, the revolution is in a microcosm, cosmos, where you see the main leader becoming corrupt and destroying everything for which they all fought for. So, yes, he's exactly right. Yes, me again. First of all, I would like to ask about the initial scene. How did you shoot it? Did you throw an actor or was it a dummy through the window? Don't answer. It's a secret. We buried him in the garden. No, it's a real guy. He's a stuntman who falls from the top floor and he falls on a mattress. Two questions. One about the shooting, which is quite brief, which would be the reason. Those people that came along, were they expected or how was that? And the second would be, we see that the film, it tries to formulate something about a solidarity community, and then whether this is in conflict in the film, or does it agree with the notion of what a family is? Because I saw there was an amount of tension there. I'm not too sure whether you saw it that way or not. Yes, of course. These tensions are created like in any community, and that's the subject matter of the film. I've never seen a community that operates perfectly, that's utopian. I think any economic and social system, there are always difficulties that emerge, and especially if corruption filters in and empowerment and so on and so forth. So a family is a small example of this, and a community is a bigger example, and a country is an even bigger example. So the dimension grows, whether it's bigger or smaller. And as regards to the water, I didn't understand your question. The rain had a result, whether it was really raining or not. Yes. We can't hear the question from the audience now. What I'm interested in is to making a contrast of how he bathes at home and in the house. The rain is the cyclic. His house floods and it floods from where he lives in the basement. And this represents how things are cyclic and everything ends up where it began. It wasn't real rain. There's another question over here. Hi. Good afternoon. I would like to ask you about the cast. Draws my attention that they're non-professional actors, but they nail their roles. How did you find their characters? How did you choose who this is the right person for it? Well, it was very interesting because we entered into a bar where Hugo lives. It's a popular neighborhood in the outskirts of Mexico City. And it took a lot of time to do this. First of all, to generate confidence and trust, because there's a lack of trust on both sides. Who are these guys that want to make a film? Why are we going to believe them? But slowly but surely, we set up, create friendship and links, and we start to meet people, and you do a few auditions. And there are people with a lot of talent. The problem is that quite often you don't discover them, but there are people with a lot of talent who are sensitive, and the challenge is to try to find them. Hugo, for example, can talk about his experience in that respect. When he, through Lalo, through the casting director, was just exactly like that, trying to find in the streets where I live, to find people, and initially there was a lack of trust because we didn't believe the people. Were incredulous. They couldn't believe they were looking for people within our neighborhood. But Lalo gave trust and that link with David, and the people started to participate and to participate in the casting. Initially, we didn't believe it, but it was like, well, it was something unbelievable. But slowly but surely, the trust that they gave to us so that the people could also open up and form part of the auditions, because initially it's quite illogical that someone in a neighborhood was going to looking for someone for a film because casting's out in the auditions out in the street. I thought a door audition is in a studio or in a set, but never out in the street. Yes. Whether how long did that take to find for to establish that relation? What was it, 4 or 5 months specifically with Hugo? He participated later. There was another person in his role, but I ended up deciding for him. Month and a half before filming, I chose Hugo. So not that much time, really. There's another question back there. Yes. Hi. Obviously, as Latinos, I would like to know the way you think. In Latin America, we know that we've been fighting against those values that have made the world recognize us. And as communicators, we wanted to show the positive things. But I see in your film the negative and the horrible things. I fight and I struggle, but I don't care how I manage to achieve it. Why to show the world with a well-made film? I want to congratulate you for the combination between professional actor and non-professional actors. But it gives a great dynamic spontaneity to the film. Why opt in favor of and choose to demonstrate that anti-value, so to speak, having from that same way of thinking, haven't taken an option in which you could highlight what you are as Mexicans, which got incredible values. I'm from Venezuela, but I've lived in Mexico. Why that option? And due to the fact that you're young people, I don't know, perhaps I'm very negative. Who knows? But it's part of what I see. They're two sides of the same coin. Mexico is a country that I love, and they've got characteristics that I don't have to mention here. We know what Mexico is. It's got a brilliant side, a very vibrant side to it, and it's also got a very, very dark values, which are reflected in this case in the film. But not as the country in general, but a reflection of the country in general. But that's what interests me, to talk about that side of things, the side of moral corruption that sometimes we may have as Mexicans or as people from any country, the truth be said, contextualized in this social struggle, that it's never easy. A social struggle is always going to be violent, so it's difficult to reflect it with more brighter values, shall we say. Self-criticism is important for things to truly improve. For things to improve, we have to discuss them openly, albeit it's not the best side or the society of the country or the country of the society that we're showing, but they have to be discussed, these issues. Hi. I came a bit late, so if I repeat a question, excuse me. I understand that you've said that there are professional actors and non-professional actors, and the way the film was shot, there's a single sequence, frame for a simple single sequence. In the writing of the script, how do you address the rehearsals and the approach of each of the different situations that arise? And how do you address the text with the non-professional actors? To what extent are you writing, or do you discover, and what freedom have you given to the non-actors? Because as there's no editing, editing in the same sequence, that's what I'm saying, you can allow that freshness to arise. How did that process take place? Well, the truth is they never read the script. I know that I've got, in the construction world and building world, I have, no matter how much I've researched it in the field, there's something that I can't write. And they contributed a lot in that sense. The scenes, they understood what I needed in each scene, but I allowed them to develop with the guidelines and the rhythm that I set forth, but the message, they were able to convey it the way they wanted to. That's the way I like to work, especially the people that are non-professional actors, because they are construction workers, and to take full advantage of that. Yeah. Any further questions? Yes, here in the front row, another question. I'd like to ask about denouncing the institutions when they sign, talking about the brother and there's an investigation about this, and also the trade union that appears that it seems that it doesn't go in favor of the workers. But then all the action is focused precisely upon the workers. Were you looking for this, to make that denunciation, to denounce this? Yes, more. I would just like to, more than going against institutions, I wanted to highlight how isolated the workers are, the support from the institutions in any sense. That, for me, is the most powerful, the lack of protection they have in the case of accidents because they don't receive compensation. This is the main issue, and that reflects the situation. I say that because the answer is, let's manage this on our own account. Yes, yes. And then, yes, they look for justice at their own hands. Take the law into his own hands. David, a moment ago, said, perhaps I'm negative, but I don't believe so. I think that his objective to address that in Mexico, the institutions operate in a different way, and they help these people, as you say, lack protection. That would be becoming too optimistic, Hugo. The law is always helping the weaker. But as you can see in the film, for example, that's how it happens. The workers in the construction field have always suffered abuse, as you can see. It's not that they don't want to pay us, but to us, in a certain way, this opportunity within the film emerges or arises to say, well, okay, I built the house, I'm going to keep the house. Let's do the corresponding paperwork. But at the end of the day, because of the lack of communication or poor communication between colleagues, we get thrown out of the house, because the truth is, it wasn't ours to start off with. That's all I wanted to say. And another important point, there's an idea that these are people that they're going to miss work, they're going to arrive late. You can't depend upon them. There was never a lack of commitment, truth be said. There are false ideas of they're drunkards, they'll be this, that, and the other. But Hugo and the entire cast for you were completely professional, serious. No one was ever missing. They were always on time. If you treat them well, they respond well. But it seems that, yeah, that's what he's saying. The lack of opportunities, which is the difficult issue in these types of situations. These are people, there's no option of doing anything different or having a much more serious job, because the economic situation is quite tough. But having the opportunities in this film, it was incredible. Apart from doing it very professionally, which is the great question of how it was going to flow, and we set up some very intimate and friendship relationship, and which are a relationship, and that's the interesting thing. And just like Michelle says, the fact that we are construction workers, just like David said, you're going to do this, that, and the other. And of course, we never missed. No one was absent. We were always there. And in that, I think we can demonstrate that in our work in construction, it's exactly that. We do everything exactly as we're told, painting or doing whatever we have to do. And sometimes the owners or the bosses, they generate these situations because they don't pay, because they don't protect us. There's no security or safety. So that's the issue. Yes, there's another question. Hi, David. Going further in depth in the work process that you've said, which is the one that interests you and interests me particularly, but going back in time, not only for the staging of the film, my question is, there are two. One is, to what extent, when you get involved in this group and you start to meet these people, do you start to modify or change the story from what you get to know once you've known them? And perhaps going even further back, how was the script? Was it quite complete? Or whether it's, at the end of the day, You know, getting involved, has the script changed over time, and getting to know the reality and the particular characteristics of each character, do they modify your vision and therefore that of the film and the script? Well, beyond meeting them and knowing them, when we were about to shoot, I did a lot of field work for several months when I was writing the script. Without meeting them, without the auditioning, I went with my notebook to construction sites, work sites, and I took notes of how they talked and how they spoke, and that's a fundamental part of the script. When I met them, there was already a practically finished script, a screenplay, but bearing in mind that I'd been working with other construction workers and learning a lot about their world, and when they form part of the film, we had to take full advantage of the individualities of each person. The script really didn't really change dramatically. Each character has their own personality, and obviously that's what we use. And as you're interested in the process, the shooting of the film, thanks to the great work of all of the cast, finished early. David finished a week before, and money and the resources that were used for reshoots. Not scenes that were bad, but when we saw the cut and we saw this could be a bit better and improve it, yes, we had plenty of time because we didn't know how they were going to react in front of the camera. I said, well, if we have a tight shooting schedule, we're going to go too quickly. But they did it so well that we had so much time. As Michelle said, we had the possibility, as we were editing simultaneously, we were able to see the film live. There was time to improve some of the scenes. And following along the lines of this, and going further back, these types of processes in which the script is dramatically configured, but we have to find that cast and the dialogues a bit fresher or more unexpected. And this is a question for Michelle too. How is this addressed in the development? How is there any, because now we're working upon this, that is, how do you see, how difficulties can you see when addressing these types of projects? The way in which we work in our production company, but it depends upon each director, obviously, but my films and this film and the 600 miles of Gabriel Ripstein is to assume that not everything is going to come out perfectly first up. So we give that space and time to refilm, to rewrite, to change things. But there's something that's very important, and it's David's first feature film, and he's a producer. But this is a condition when I produce a film that the director is also a producer, because that way it's not that I'm the guy that's obliged to resolve everything. We resolve it together, and there's no issue of power because I'm the producer, so therefore this is going to be done this way. No, we're all equal. The film is the one that's got to come out on top at the end of the day. So therefore we do what we have to do so that that can happen. I'm not too sure whether I explain myself more or less, but that's why David is a producer just like me, and because he produced it as well, because he was personally, finding the house is a very important issue in the film. And personally, David went to find the house with Dario, and they found the locations, and we negotiated it with them. That is, it's not the mega production team that where you delegate everything. No, we did everything in the field, personally. We've got time for one final question, if anyone wants to ask it. Let me close with something that drew my attention when I saw the film, which has to do with what was mentioned a moment ago. David, I don't know to what extent your film is an extension vis-a-vis staging and style of your short films, Princesa, Hermanos, Andrea Alba, for example. And there are they're very rigorous films when you approach it, how you resolve the scenes you've talked about. The frames per sequence and distance from the camera, being very austere to not use certain effects that other films use. Could you explain the reasons of this? I think the film in that sense goes along those lines. Yes, I think that, as you say, it's a continuation of my work and a style that I'm still developing, because obviously It's my first feature film. But up until now, I'm more than interested. I've been interested in highlighting the narrative, the story, and the characters. That's the style that it's enabled to make it and exploit it the best way possible, shall we say, and to approach the tension, the attention upon these issues, without perhaps giving priority to aesthetic issues. I think the film is aesthetic in a certain way, but I'm focused more upon the storyline. Okay, well, I want to thank the presence and good luck to all of you for the in the festival.